Well, good morning. Please do have a seat. Please do keep Mark chapter 4 open, verses 35 to 41 we're looking at this morning. Mark 4, 35 to 41. Well, I wonder, what's the most powerful thing that you have ever seen? There was a powerful rocket that took off this week. The Falcon Heavy blasted off from the Kennedy Air Base in Florida and took the equivalent of 5 London buses of weight high up into space. Speaking personally, I think the most powerful thing I've ever seen was sports cars roaring around Brands Hatch racetrack and RAF fighter jets soaring high over the Southport Air Show. I also came within 40 seconds as a child of watching the space shuttle take off in Florida, but sadly it was cancelled just a few moments before launch, leaving one little boy from England very frustrated at missing out on the sight of a lifetime, but never mind. Well, today in Mark's Gospel we see another display of great power. We see the power of God in action, in and through the Lord Jesus. Because in the opening chapters of Mark's Gospel, and we've already seen Jesus display some amazing power. Power to teach, to heal, to cast out demons, and to call disciples. But I think today we see one of the most magnificent demonstrations of the power of the Lord Jesus. Power over nature, no less. In our brief sermon this morning, then, I want us to look at 3 elements of this very powerful miracle. I want us to appreciate its scale. I want us to realise its significance. And I want us to appreciate the right response we should make. We're going to look at the scale, the significance, and then the right response to this miracle. But first, let me just pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word in Mark this morning, help us to see your power at work in and through the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, even today, fishing is one of the most dangerous professions. Statistically, fishermen out at sea are among the people most likely to be killed at work, to be killed on the job. It must be terrifying, mustn't it, to be out at sea, caught in the middle of a storm, to be surrounded by towering waves and force winds, to know you're far from shore and far from safety. It must be absolutely terrifying to think that your small boat out there in the ocean is about to be overwhelmed by waves or capsized in the storm. And Mark's Gospel tells us this morning, doesn't it, that those were exactly the type of emotions that must have been going through the minds of Jesus' disciples one evening on the Sea of Galilee. You may remember that many of the 12 disciples of Jesus were experienced fishermen, men like Simon Peter, Andrew, James and John. And yet it seems even these hardened men were frightened by the fierce storm that suddenly threatened to overwhelm them. Apparently, the geography around Lake Galilee makes such sudden storms very common and very unpredictable even today. And so we should believe what Mark says in verse 37 of our passage this morning, when he tells us that a furious squall suddenly came up and waves broke over the boat, so much so it was nearly swamped, he says. And then I love the surprising detail that follows in verse 38. Mark tells us that Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. It's a lovely little bit of incidental and you might say superfluous information that strongly suggests that we are reading eyewitness testimony. Testimony we can trust as true, what someone saw, what really happened. Astonishingly, Jesus was sleeping in the midst of a storm. All around him, chaos and confusion reigned, yet he himself was completely calm, sleeping on a cushion. So calm, he'd settled down for a snooze. But not for long, of course, because we're told that his disciples woke him, even if the storm didn't. They shook him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" How could Jesus be so calm when all their lives were in the balance? How could Jesus be so calm in the face of those mighty wind and waves? Surely he should be shrinking in fear, just as they all were. Well, not a bit of it. Because verse 39 tells us that Jesus simply got up and spoke. He said, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and the sea was completely calm. Now, no doubt many of us have known and heard this story for decades, since our childhood, no less. It's one of the most well-known miracles of Jesus, isn't it? But please don't let your familiarity with this miracle make you miss its remarkable scale. The magnificent scale of this miracle should make us sit up and take notice, even today. You see, with merely a word from his lips, this man Jesus has told the assembled forces of nature to keep quiet. With just a few words, Jesus has harnessed the power of a storm, like a parent might soothe a crying child, or an adult might quiet a barking dog. And Jesus' words to that storm brought immediate and total compliance, didn't they? Immediately, we're told, the wind died down, and the sea became completely calm, like a mill pond. Every molecule in the water and in the air suddenly seems to have stopped moving and become obedient to the command of Christ. The forces of nature, it seems, had just met their match. Well, confronted with a miracle on this remarkable scale, the watching disciples are understandably amazed, aren't they? "Who is this?" they ask themselves. "Even the wind and waves obey him." And it's true that this amazing miracle cries out for some kind of explanation. How could Jesus do such a thing? What's the significance of what those disciples have just witnessed? Well, anyone familiar with the Old Testament would know that God alone can command the wind and the waves. Only the creator of nature can control it. In our psalm today, Psalm 65, verse 7, we read that only God can still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves. And throughout Old Testament history more generally, we see God display this power over the wind and waves. For example, in Genesis chapter 1, God creates the heavens and the earth and all that floats on the earth just by his word. In Exodus, God has the power to part the Red Sea and let the Israelites go to safety in the wilderness. And in the book of Joshua, God splits the River Jordan so his people can complete their journey and enter the promised land. And so by calming the storm at sea, Jesus was doing what God and God alone can do and has always done. Jesus was displaying the power of the Creator in his own person. Jesus was showing himself to be gloriously and wonderfully divine. You see, the significance of this miracle, the reason Mark put it in his gospel, is that it backs up Mark's own claim about Jesus back in chapter 1, verse 1. The significance of this miracle is that it provides yet more evidence for Mark's claim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This miracle makes it clear that Jesus is no lunatic or liar, but the Lord. This miracle shows that Jesus wasn't mad or bad, but God. Now, Christians, as well as obviously non-Christians, can make the mistake sometimes of making Jesus too small in our mind. It's easy sometimes to think of him as merely a life coach, a wise man, or some kind of good and godly teacher. Well, we shouldn't make that mistake. And this miracle warns us against it. Because Jesus' power and identity is far beyond that of any human politician or prophet or wise man. This miracle reminds us that Jesus is God's Word with us, the divine Son in human flesh. That's the real and lasting significance of this spectacular miracle on the sea. So how then should we respond to this revelation? How should we act rightly to this awesome display of power on Lake Galilee? Well, one option is clearly fear. That certainly seems to have been the initial reaction of Jesus' 12 disciples. Verse 41 tells us they were quite simply terrified. A few seconds earlier, they'd been terrified of the storm. Now, it was Jesus himself who was terrifying to them. Compared to this powerful man in their midst, they must have felt very, very small. Now, in one sense, fear was the right reaction to Jesus. The Bible repeatedly teaches, doesn't it, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There is such a thing, I think, as a healthy fear of God, a healthy awe, reverence, and respect at our Creator. After all, God is far more powerful than we are. And more importantly, God is perfectly good and holy, and we humans are far from it. Humility, reverence, and repentance before God is always right and wise. But equally, we shouldn't be paralysed by fear before God either. If we're Christians, we should not have an unhealthy fear of the Lord. Because if we're Christians, we know that as well as being powerful and perfect, we know too that God loves us and he loves to show mercy. As Christians, after all, we believe that God sent his Son into the world to save us, not to destroy us. If we're Christians here this morning, we've experienced Jesus' power to forgive us, as well as his power to calm a storm. So fear is one reaction to Christ, but the best response is always faith. Faith. Because Jesus says that's what he's looking for in verse 40 today. He says to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" As I hope we all know, to have faith is to trust something or trust someone. To have faith in a chair is to trust it with your weight. To have faith in Jesus is to trust him with your life. And having witnessed Jesus' power and goodness, the right response to the evidence then and now is to trust him as our Lord and Saviour. That was the lesson the disciples had to learn, and it's the lesson for us and every subsequent generation to learn as well. You see, confronted with a world of diverse opinions and ethical dilemmas, the right course is to trust Christ and let his words guide us through life. Confronted by our own sin and selfishness, the right response is to trust Jesus as our sole and sufficient Saviour. And confronted by death and disease, the right reaction is to trust Christ and trust him alone for eternal life beyond the grave. So as I finish, please don't just be amazed by Jesus' miracle on Lake Galilee, or please don't simply dismiss it as yet another childhood story. Instead, appreciate its true significance and have healthy fear and faith in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do praise you for your power and goodness you displayed that day on Lake Galilee. May your Spirit be at work in our hearts today and help us come to you as Lord and Saviour, with both healthy fear and faith in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.